For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is August 18th, and we are in Yirmiyahu, and we are starting with Perek Chaf Tes, chapter 29. As I indicated in the introductory email, this is not in order of the chapters we've been doing. We are, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to plan to do Chaf Tes, Lamed, and Lamed Aleph, 29, 30, and 31, because Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, has in it the Haftarah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So it will help us in our preparation for Rosh Hashanah, and this is one unit, these three chapters. So tonight we're going to try to do Chavtes, chapter 29, which is a rather long parak, but reads fairly quickly. Ve'ele divrei ha-sefer ha-shashach Yirmiyah ha-navi mi-Yerushalayim. These, the following, are the words of the sefer, of the book, the scroll, that Yirmiyah the Navi sent from Yerushalayim, Eliezer Ziknei HaGola, to the remainder of the elders of those who were taken into exile, Vel HaKohanim, Vel HaNaviim, Vel Kol HaAm, and to the Kohanim and the prophets and all the nation, Asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar Miyushalayim Bavela, that Nebuchadnezzar had taken into Golas, had taken into exile to Bavel. So let's give the historical context. Some of you may have this clear already from previous classes, but we're going to just give it over one more time, that the process of the exile, the galus, worked in stages, and that the king Yehoyakim, who was an evil king, ruled for 11 years, and then Nebuchadnezzar, he had already conquered Eretz Yisrael, but he had not removed him from his throne. This time, he removes him from his throne and actually kills him and places his son Yechaniah on the throne. But Yechaniah only rules for 3 months. And after Yechaniah rules for 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar returns and takes the first wave of Jews into exile, takes them into Golus. And he puts on the throne the king Tzidkiyahu, who is the last king, and that's the uncle of Yechaniah, the brother of Yehoyakim, and he becomes the last king. He'll rule for 11 years. So the first wave of Jews to be taken into Golus are with the king Yechaniah, and the Beis HaMikdash is not yet destroyed. It is still in existence, but the leadership of the Jewish people have already been taken away into Golus, into exile to Bavel. So Yirmiyahu is one of the very few leaders of the Jews that remains in Israel when this group of Jews is taken to Bavel. Yirmiyahu here in our chapter is sending a message to those Jews who were taken into exile, along with the king Yechaniah, which is what we're gonna give a little bit of historical background here in the next pasuk, in the next verse. But that is what's happening, and that's where we're picking up this story. Now, when we've done this storyline before, we didn't get this far. But the truth is that what we're gonna read about is not really gonna be the storyline. It's just this is the context. This is when this sefer, when this scroll, this message is being sent to the Jews from Yirmiyahu, who is in Yerushalayim, to the Jews who are already in exile in Babylonia. But that's all we need for the historical context. The rest of it is just going to be, as we'll see, somewhat of a lecture, but also some very, very interesting subplots that are going to take place as we read along. So Yirmiyahu is sending this scroll. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Acharei Tzeis Yechaniah HaMelech. This is after the king Yechaniah had been taken out, went out of Yerushalayim to Bavel, to Babylonia. Vehagevira. A gevira means an important woman. Normally, when you see the term gevira in context of the king, it's going to refer to the queen. to his main wife. In this context, it does not refer to the queen. It refers to Yechaniah's mother. That's what it refers to. Yechaniah and his mother, who apparently was a very important person in his very short reign. Vehasarisim, and the officers, the leaders, the cabinet members. Sare Yehuda, the leaders of the Yehuda of Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim. Vehecharash vehamasger, and the charash and the masger miYerushalayim, from Yerushalayim. The charash and the masger, that is a reference to all of the great Talmidei Chachamim, the great Torah scholars that were taken into exile with the king Yechaniah. The charash can mean, the literal translation would be carpenters, but charash also means to be mute, as in not being able to speak. The reason they were referred to as the charash v'hamasker, masker comes from the word sagur, to close. So charash and masker are really related to each other, mute and closed, because when they spoke, everybody else kept quiet. That's why they're called the charash v'hamasker, because they were, when they spoke, they were the final word. There was nothing else to say once they made their points. So they were also taken into exile along with Yechaniah. So Yirmiyahu is sending a message to all of them. Now, how does the message get from Yerushalayim to Bavel? Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Biyad Elasha ben Shaphan. It was in the hands of Elasha ben Shaphan. We have not been introduced to him before. Ugemariah ben Chilkiah. And Gemariah ben Chilkiah, also a new person we have not been introduced to before. Asher shalach Tzidkiah melech Yehuda, that the new king, Tzidkiah, the king of Yehuda, sent El Nebuchadnezzar, melech Bavel, to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. Evidently, Tzidkiah sent an emissary, these two people, Elasha ben Shaphan and Gemariah ben Chilkiah, from Yerushalayim to Bavel. So Yirmiyahu used the opportunity to send this sefer, to send this message with them. Bavela to Bavel, Lamar saying. So here we're going to get the text of the note of the letter. Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael. So says Hashem, the God of Yisrael, L'chol ha-gola, to all of those who are exiled, Asher Higlesi Mirushalayim Bavela, that I have already sent into exile from Yerushalayim to Bavel. What is the message? Binuvatim vishevu, build houses and dwell. Vinitu ganos, and plant gardens or orchards. Viichlu es piryan, and eat their fruits. You're in for the long haul. Don't just try to survive over there in Bavel, in Babylonia, hoping that you will return quickly. You're actually going to be there a very long time. Therefore, you should build houses, build orchards, get yourselves the infrastructure that you need. Kehunashim, marry wives, vaholidu vanim uvanos, and have children. Ukehu livnechem nashim, and take for your sons wives. In other words, marry off your sons. Vespenosechem tnula nashim, and give your daughters to men. Marry your daughters off as well. Vesed ladna banim uvanos, and they in turn should have children. That'll be grandchildren. Urevusham, and multiply there. Ve'altimatu, do not remain small. You're going to be there a long time. You should establish communities and expect to be there for a long period of time. Vidirshu es shlom ha'ir asher higlesi eschem shama. Also, you should seek out the peace of this city that I have exiled you there. Meaning that you should get along with your non-Jewish neighbors. V'hispallu va'ada el Hashem, and you should pray, you should daven on behalf of that foreign city to Hashem. Ki bishloma yelachem shalom, because with its peace, you will have peace. Since you're going to be there, you're in Bavel. If Bavel's at peace, you'll be at peace. If Bavel's not at peace, you won't be at peace. It's in your best interest to daven for their best interest. Ki cho amar Hashem tzvakos elokei Yisrael, for so says Hashem, the God of Yisrael. Al yashiu lachem nevi'eichem asher bekirbachem v'kosmeichem. Don't allow the prophets that are in your midst and your kosmeichem would be your sorcerers, those who appear to have some sort of supernatural powers. Don't let them convince you. V'al tishmu el chalamoseichem. Do not listen to your dreams, asher atem machlimim, that you are dreaming, that you think you're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael quickly. Ignore those fantasies. Ki v'sheker hem nibim lachem bishmi, for they are prophesying to you falsely in my name. Lo shalachtim, I did not send them, ne'um Hashem, says Hashem. We are going to be introduced here in this chapter to many false prophets. False prophecy was a rampant problem in the days of Yirmiyahu. We've brought it up before. We have not dealt with it as directly as we're going to deal with it tonight. And it will come up as a recurring problem throughout Yirmiyahu. This has been something that has been difficult to many of you over the beginning of Yirmiyahu that we've read about, in that it's been difficult to understand how someone can be a false prophet. I mean, they're saying God said such and such, but he never said such and such. So don't they know they're going to be exposed as liars? It's important to know that in the age of prophecy, a prophet appeared to have a lot of power. Now, we know a prophet doesn't actually have any power, because a prophet is only saying that which Hashem tells that person to say. However, people listen to prophets. And therefore, if someone wanted to manipulate other people, one of the very effective ways of doing it is to claim to be a prophet. Now, at the same time, because it was the age of prophecy, you couldn't just step up and say, I'm a prophet. Big deal. Who are you to say you're a prophet? They were smarter than that. They weren't so gullible as to believe every person who stepped forward and said they were a prophet. Most of the time, the ones who were the worst of the false prophets were those who began as real prophets, which may come as a shock. You would say, if they were real prophets, aren't they righteous people? The answer is yes. But righteous people are not immune to the Yetzer, to the evil inclination. And unfortunately, it became a problem that sometimes there were bad apples that started out as righteous, and then unfortunately, either the power corrupted them or something else corrupted them, and they succumbed to false prophecies. I imagine that there could be a progression where a person starts by telling a white lie and bending the truth a little bit here and there. And, you know, it's, I can make a little bit of money this way. I can get away with this that way. I can have a little prestige with this, and says something that Hashem didn't actually say, or embellishes it or whatever, something just a little bit. And then it becomes something that gets worse and worse and worse over time. No different than any other vice that we all have to struggle with in our lives. Just, we don't struggle with this because we don't have prophecy in our day. But if we did, we would struggle with it as well. And they did. So we're here going to be dealing intensely with false prophecy, as we'll see. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Ki cho amar Hashem, for so says Hashem. Ki lefil melos lebavel shivim shana efkod eschem. It's not going to be until their Bavel has fulfilled 70 years. That's when I will remember you. I will visit upon you to take you out of Golas. Vakimos yalechem es divari hatov. And at that time, I will establish upon you my good word. Lahashiv eschem el amakom hazeh, to bring you back to this place. It's going to be 70 years. Get comfortable. 7 years is a generation. You're going to be there for that long. Ki anochi yadati es hamachashavos, ashanochi choshev aleichem num Hashem, because I know the thoughts that I am thinking upon you, says Hashem. Machshavos shalom, I am thinking thoughts of peace, v'lo lira, not of evil, L'aseis lachem acharis v'sikva, to give you a future and a hope. You're going to be okay if you listen to me and get established in Bavel. Ukras hemosi, you will call out to me. V'halachtem, and you will go. V'yispalaltem elai, you will pray to me. V'shamati aleichem, I will listen to you. Uvikashtem osi, and you will seek me out. Umitzasem, and you will find. Ki sidrishuni b'chol avavchem, when you seek me with all of your heart. You'll be okay. In Bavel, it may have been traumatic to get there. It was not a pleasant experience to be dragged into exile. There was a lot of suffering, but now you will be okay if you get yourselves established there. I will be found for you, says Hashem. Now, you'll seek me out and I will be found. You'll be able to find me. Eventually I will return your exiles. And I will gather you from all the nations, from Mikol HaMekomos and from all the places. I pushed you away to there, Nu'um Hashem, says Hashem. V'ashivosi eschem al ha'mokom asher iglesi eschem misham, and I will return you to the place from which I have exiled you, which means Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, I will bring you back. Ki amartem, for you have said, Hekim lanu Hashem nevi'im bavela. You have said that Hashem has established for us prophets in Bavel. The reason why I'm sending you this message is because you think that you have prophets in Bavel, meaning there are those in Bavel who are prophesying and saying things, and you think that they are ones that I, Hashem, have established for you. It is not so. They are false prophets. Kicho amar Hashem el haMelech hayoshev al kisei David. For so says Hashem to the king who is sitting on the throne of David, ve'al kol ha'am hayoshev bo'er hazos, and all those who are dwelling in this city, meaning in Yerushalayim, acheichem, your brothers, asher lo yotzu itchem bagola, that did not go out with you into exile. I say about them, Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakos, so says Hashem, Hinani Mishaleach Bam, I am about to send against them, Es HaCherev, Es HaRav, Ves HaDover, the sword, famine, plague, V'nasati Osam Kate'enim HaShoarim, I will make them like the unripe and inedible figs. Asher lo se achalna meroa, that they can't be eaten because they're so bad. I'm going to make them like these inedible figs. A fig is something which should be juicy and delicious, and the inedible ones are very disappointing because they should be really delicious, but they're not. And that's what's going to happen with the Jews who are still in Yerushalayim. There's going to be a lot of calamity that's going to come. In other words, it's not that you in Bavel will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, but rather those who are still in Eretz Yisrael will end up in Bavel with you. V'radavti achareihem, I will chase after them, b'cherev, barav, uvadover, with the sword, with the famine, and with plague. Unesatim leza'ava, l'chomam l'chosaretz, they will be a trembling for all of the kingships of the world, which means people will see what happens to them and they will get scared. They'll say, wow, I hope that doesn't happen to us. La'ala ulishama v'lishreka ulcherpa, for cursing and desolation and shock and shame, b'chol ha'goyim asher idachtim sham, to all of the nations that I will then push them away to there. They're going to have to go into exile as well. As we've known from previous parts of Yirmiyahu, the Jews who remained in Yerushalayim under King Tzidkiyahu were not behaving, unfortunately. And therefore, the calamity was now on its way. Tachas, Pasuk Yutes, verse 19, Tachas ashelo shamu el divarainu Hashem, because they did not listen to my words, said Hashem, asher shalachti aleihem es avadai hanavim, that I sent upon them my servants the Nevi'im, hashkem v'shaloach, early and constantly, I keep sending them prophets, v'lo shematem nu Hashem, they didn't listen, or you didn't listen, says Hashem. Ve'atem shimu dvar Hashem, and now you meaning the people in Bavel, listened to the word of Hashem. Kol agola asher shilachti miYerushalayim Bavel, all of the exile that I sent from Yerushalayim to Bavel. Now, this next verse is going to introduce two people. These two people are infamous, and the story that we're going to tell about them is both telling and shocking, as we'll see. But there's not only going to be some hint to it in the actual verses, the Gemara fills in some of it, and the Medrash fills in the rest of it, which we'll talk about soon. Komar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, so says Hashem Tzvakos, the God of Yisrael. El Achav ben Kolaya, to Achav, the son of Kolaya, that's one person. Ve'el Tzidkiyahu ben Ma'aseya, and to Tzidkiyahu, the son of Ma'aseya. Hanib'im lachem bishmi shaker, that they prophesy to you in my name falsely. Hinanino seno sambiyad Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel. I am going to give them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel. Vihikam le'enechem, and he will strike them down in front of your eyes. Achav ben Kolaya and Sidkiyahu ben Ma'aseya were false prophets for 22 years. Before they are going to be brutally punished, as we will see. Before we get confused, though, let's make sure we understand. Remember that a lot of names are reused. It's not necessarily the same person. There is a king Achav that appears in the book of Malachim, the book of Kings. He was one of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel. That is not the same person as this person. That person was a Achav ben Omri, and he was killed long ago. This is a different person, Achav ben Kolaya. Tzidkiyahu ben Ma'aseya, that name Tzidkiyahu is the same name as the current king in this story. Tzidkiyahu is the last king of Judah. This is not the same person. Same name, but it's a different person. Tzidkiyahu ben Ma'aseya. So Achav ben Kolaya and Sidkiyo ben Maaseya, these are false prophets, and we will learn their story soon. Chav Beis 22. V'lukach mehem klala l'chol golus Yehuda, will be taken from them a curse for all of the exile of Yehuda. Asher b'Bavel, that are in Bavel, Lamar, saying, people will take from them a curse, meaning they will use them as a curse. They will say the following. If someone wants to curse somebody else, they will say, Yesimcha Hashem, Kitzidkiyahu, Uche Echav, that Hashem should make you like Tzidkiyahu and like Echav or Achav, Asher Kalam Melech Bavel Ba'esh, that the king of Bavel incinerated them in fire. Kalam is a very powerful word. Usually it'll be so, lisrof means to burn. Kala means to incinerate. That the king of Bavel incinerated them in fire. And again, we'll see the story soon of what happened to them. But it's going to be so bad that they will become an example that when someone is angry at somebody else and wants to curse them, they will say, Hashem should make you like Tzidkiyahu and like Achav. You notice the phrase Yisimcha Hashem, that's the exact same phrase that we use, quoted from Parshas Vayechi, quoted from Parshas Vayechi, that we use to say that when we bless our children on Friday night, Yisimcha Hashem ke'Ephraim echi Menashe, Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, we say to the boys, to the girls we say, Kesar Rivka Rachav Aleha. It's the same phrase, but as a curse. Hashem should make you like Tzidkiyahu and like Achav. Why? Chav Gimel 23, Yan Asher Asu Nevala B'Yisrael, because they did an abomination in Yisrael, something disgusting. Vayenafu es neshei reyehem, they committed adultery with the wives of their friends. Vayedabru davar bishmi sheker, and they spoke word in my name that is false. Ashalotzi visim, that I did not command them. Vanochi hayodea va'ed nu'um Hashem. And I am the one who knows, and I am the witness, says Hashem. this phrase that Hashem is the Yodea Va'ed, He is the knower and He is the witness. This phrase, if you pay attention on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this phrase is used in Unisane Tokef on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This phrase is used that Hashem is the Yodea Va'ed. He is the knower and He is the witness. It's quoted from here in Unisane Tokef. You can understand why it would be there in Unisane Tokef, where we talk about how Hashem is aware of everything that is going on and that everything is being brought to judgment. It's quoted from this pasuk, this verse right here. So, again, we have these two scoundrels. We have not described their entire story, but we will. Achav and Tzidkiyahu. And now we have a third scoundrel who is introduced. Ve'al Shmayahu Hanechelami, Tomar Lamar, and to Shmayahu the Nechelami, that's, I guess, where he's from, you should say as follows. Ko'amar Hashem Tzvako Selo Kei Yisrael Lamar. So says Hashem, the God of Israel, saying, Yan Ashrata Shalachta Vishimcha, because you sent in your name Svarim El Kol Ha'am Asher B'Yerushalayim, you sent scrolls, you sent messages to all the nation that's in Yerushalayim, Ve'el Tzefanya Ben Maaseyah HaKohen, and you also sent the scroll specifically to Tzefanya, the son of Maaseyah, who was a Kohen, Ve'el Koa Kohanim Lamar, and to all the Kohanim, you sent the following message, you, Shemayahu HaNechelami, you sent the following messages. Now, we don't know this story except for right here. We're being told the story through the criticism of what he did. So what did he do? He sent the following message. He sent to the Kohanim. Hashem nesoncha kohen, tachas Yehoyada HaKohen. Hashem made you, Kohanim, in place of Yehoyada the Kohen. Now Yehoyada was a great tzaddik. He was the Kohen Gadol, well over 100 years before this story. But he was a very, very famous, well-known, well-respected Kohen. So, therefore, Shemayahu HaNechelami, when he's sending a message to the Kohanim, he invokes Yehoyada. And he says, Hashem made you Kohanim, just like Hashem made Yehoyada the Kohen. Lios Pekidim Beis Hashem, to be those who are the ones who are who have been chosen to run the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. L'chol ish mishuga u'misnabe, for all people who are mishuga and misnabe. Now mishuga is a modern Hebrew word which means crazy, insane. Misnabe means to prophesy. Hashem has made you in charge of or expected to take care of all the crazies and all those who prophesy. Vinasato so elamapeches velatzinok, and you put the crazies and those who prophesy into the mapeches, which is the jail, and the tzinok, which is some sort of a shackles to bind them. Now, the prophecy, we've discussed this before, that when a person receives prophecy, their perception is crystal clear. A person, when they are receiving prophecy from Hashem, has a crystal clear perception of what they are seeing from Hashem. Whatever it is Hashem wants to show them, it is perfectly clear. They are as lucid as one can be. More so, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, writes, than we are in our normal state. They're even more lucid than that. They're even more clear than that. Their perception is intense. However, because there is such an intense focus, which is sikhli, which is intellectual, therefore the prophet frequently, unless they're asleep, which sometimes a prophet gets a vision when they're sleeping, but if they're awake, then the prophet loses their perception of what is going on with their physical bodies. And therefore, sometimes a prophet can receive a prophecy and their behavior, the way they move their limbs, the way they handle their bodies, they appear crazy. They appear drunk, like there's something wrong with them physically. That's what it looks like while they are so intensely focused on the prophecy. That happens at times for a prophet. It did not happen, of course, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was as if he was having just a regular conversation. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. But everybody else is not like Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore this can happen. So therefore, when you have someone who is a legitimate prophet, he may look that way. And when you have someone who is trying to impersonate a prophet, they may deliberately do that so that they give the impression that they are being prophetic. So this message is saying to them, to the Kohanim, you're the ones who take these crazies. Sometimes it's the prophets who are faking it. Sometimes it's the real prophets. And you throw them in jail or you lock them up if you don't like what they're saying. These were not righteous people, the Kohanim who he's writing to. And these are not, he himself is not a righteous person. He's saying, you've done a great job of getting rid of those who we do not want to be prophesied. Ve'ata, and now he writes, Lama lo ga'arta b'yirmiyo ha'ansosi. Why have you not criticized? Ga'ar is more than criticize. It means to shout down, yell at. Why have you not yelled at Yirmiyahu the ansosi? That's where he's from. Hamisnabe lachem, that he's saying prophecy for you. This scoundrel, Shmayahu Anechalami, is writing to the Kohanim, why have you not shouted down Yirmiyahu? Why are you giving him a platform? Chavches, ki alkein shalach eleinu Bavel lemar, because he sent to us in Bavel saying, Shmayahu Anechalami is in Bavel. So he says, he sent to us saying, Arukahi, you're going to be there a long time. Binuvatim v'shevu, build houses and dwell there. Vinituganos, and plant orchards, v'ichlues prihen, and eat their fruits. So why don't you get rid of Yirmiyahu? Why are you letting him prophesy? Do you hear the terrible things he's sending to us in Bavel? Vayikra Tzfanya HaKoin HaSefer HaZeh Ba'azne Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So Tzfanya the Koin read this communication, the one from Shmayahu HaNechalami, to in the ears of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And so what is the response? Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Lemar. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu saying, Shlach El Kol HaGola Lemar, sent to all of the exiles saying, Komar Hashem, so says Hashem El Shmaya HaNechalami, to Shmaya the Nechalami, Yara Shaniba Lachem Shmaya, because Shmaya prophesied to you, Vani Lo Shalachti, I did not send him, Vayavtach Eschem Al Shaker, and he gave you false hope. He made you think that the exile is going to end and that Yirmiyahu is saying that it's going to be a long time, that he's wrong. That's what he tried to convince you of. Lachin, therefore, Kamar Hashem, so says Hashem, Hinifokein Al Shemaya Nechalami Valzaro. Behold, I am going to visit upon, this is in a bad way, Shemaya HaNechalami and his descendants, his children. Lo yelo ish yoshev besocha mazeh. He will not have any man in his family dwell amongst this nation. Vo yireh vatov asharani osen le'aminu mashem. He will not see the goodness that I will eventually bring to my nation. His family will be wiped out. Ki sara diber al Hashem, for he has spoken that which is false about Hashem. He has impersonated prophecy, trying to make it seem as if he was communicated to by Hashem, and he really was not, and therefore he is not going to receive any of the goodness that I am going to bring upon the Jewish people in the future. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh baro. There are going to be more false prophets, which we're going to be introduced to by name as we go through Yirmiyahu. and there's going to be some wild stories. The story here of Shmaya HaNechelami, that's pretty straightforward. He was trying to silence Yirmiyahu because he didn't like what Yirmiyahu was saying, that they're going to be there for a long period of time. And he was trying to garner prestige and favor with the Jewish people by saying, no, we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. This is not going to last long. Don't build houses. Don't plant orchards. We're not going to be here that long. Let's go back. We're going to go back. Hashem's going to take us back. So it goes on. So Hashem says, because you tried to silence Yirmiyahu and you prophesied falsely, you're finished. That's what happened with him. What about the other two? Going back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21, about Achav ben Koloya and Sidkiyo ben Maaseya. There's going to be two different stories here. First of all, what did they do? And second of all, what happened to them? Before we discuss this, I want to give a little bit of background about the office of Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, here we had mentioned Yehoyada, the Kohen Gadol. That goes back many, many years before Yirmiyahu. As I mentioned, he was a great tzaddik. As time went on and we get closer and closer to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, you have different factions of Kohanim. Some are righteous, some are evil. And it becomes a bad situation in the Beis HaMikdash. There are some righteous Kohanim, no question about it, but they're not all righteous. Eventually, the Beis HaMikdash is, of course, destroyed. We then have to endure 70 years of exile in Bavel. When we come back to Eretz Yisrael after 70 years, there's not going to be a melech. There's not going to be a king. The royalty for the Jewish people is not reestablished until Mashiach. Mashiach is the melech HaMashiach. When he comes, he will reestablish the kingship for us. So that has not been in place since before the second Beis HaMikdash. You have to go all the way back since to Tzidkio, the last of the kings of the first temple, in order to find a Jewish king. But the Kohanim, because the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, the second Beis HaMikdash is built, there are Kohanim Gedolim in the second Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim Gedolim of the second Beis HaMikdash begin righteous. Later, after a few hundred years, they turn sour. But in the beginning, you have very great people who are the Kohanim Gedolim of the second Beis HaMikdash. One of the most famous, you probably know, is Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is one of the great Kohanim Gedolim of the second Beis HaMikdash, a huge, huge tzaddik and great sage, and someone who we quote him in the Mishnayos. The very first of the Kohanim Gedolim of the second Beis HaMikdash, his name is Yehoshua. Not to be confused with the Yehoshua who is the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Yehoshua comes from the tribe of Ephraim. This Yehoshua is a Kohen, which means he comes from Levi. And he's known as Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. We learned about him in the book of Zechariah, because the book of Zechariah in Treyasar, the book of Zechariah takes place at the time that the second Beis HaMikdash is built, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So therefore we're introduced to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is going to play a role in this story as well. He was not young when the second Beis HaMikdash was built, which makes sense. The Kohen Gadol is going to be one of the most righteous, most learned, most experienced of all of the Kohanim. So he's not going to be a young man, probably.
He's 70 years.
Right, right. So Yehoshua Kohen Gadol is not going to be a young man when he assumes the position of Kohen Gadol. Exactly how old he is, I don't know, because the story I'm about to tell you, we don't know exactly when it took place. It might be that this story took place 70 years before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, that chronologically the story we're about to tell took place at the time of that we established this prophecy, which is before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But it's not clear. It may have been later that it happened. But it certainly happens towards the beginning of the Babylonian exile. That's for sure.
Okay.
And therefore, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, if he's going to be in this story, he's clearly a very old man when it comes to the second Beis HaMikdash. That's for sure. But he will be introduced, but he is a very righteous person, a great person, as we will see. Okay. So what did Achav ben Koloya and Sidkiyahu ben Maaseya do for 22 years that they were false prophets? Achav ben Koloya and Sidkiyahu ben Maaseya probably started as real prophets, as we mentioned, because it's hard to establish your credentials as a false prophet if you didn't start as a real prophet. Again, in the age of prophecy, people were discerning. You're a prophet, like, you know, well, my uncle's a prophet. Like, you know, yeah, right? So there are quacks out there. So you gotta figure out who's the real deal. So they likely started as real prophets. At any rate, they clearly were corrupted. The thing that corrupted them, some people are corrupted by power, some for prestige. They were corrupted by licentiousness. And they were interested in adultery. And they developed a system. And the system was as follows. Tzidkiyah would go to a man and say, I'm a prophet. You know I'm a prophet. I have credentials as a prophet. I've prophesied before. And Hashem told me that he has a message for your wife. And the man would say, oh, okay, please come speak to my wife. So Tzidkiyah would be admitted. And he would come to speak to the man's wife. He would then say to the man's wife, the message that Hashem gave to me, he wants me to tell it to you in private. And therefore, the two of them, Tzidkiyah and this man's wife, would go into a room by themselves, which is the Avera of Yichud, of being in seclusion with a married woman. But he said, this is what Hashem told me to do, to speak to you in private. And she would listen, and they would go in privacy. While in privacy, Tzidkiyah would say to this man's wife, Hashem told me that he wants to bring great righteous people and prophets from you, that you should give birth to great righteous people, great tzaddikim, great prophets. So of course, the woman would be very, very excited about this. That's a wonderful thing to hear, that Hashem is saying that you're such a great person that Hashem's going to bring from you great righteous people. So she would then ask, well, you know, okay, what are we talking about over here? Like when, how, what? And he would continue the conversation and discuss it. And eventually he would say, the way that Hashem wants to bring those prophets from you, though, is not from your husband. It is from another prophet. Not himself. It wasn't that obvious. He said, there's another prophet. Hashem has told me about another prophet. His name is Achav ben Koloya. And Hashem has told me that he wants you to bear children to Achav ben Koloya. And those children will be great prophets themselves, great righteous people. He would be so convincing that the woman would not tell her husband, and she would then try to get Achav ben Koloya's attention. But Achav ben Koloya played the game. He made it appear as if he didn't know anything about this and was not interested in this woman. She's a married woman after all. And he would mind his own business. And she would try to get his attention to the point that she would send gifts to him to get him to come to her. And eventually she would prevail that he would allow himself, of course, to be prevailed upon, and that he would eventually go to her and he would commit adultery with her. Then Achav performed the same service for Tzidkiyah. And each of them would do this convincing job. Now, aside from the terrible immorality and licentiousness that is going on, but notice how they are preying upon a person who wants to hear what they're saying. It sounds very, very beautiful that I'm going to have children that are going to be great prophets. And the women who did this did it thinking they were involved in a righteous act. So just how despicable what they were doing. They weren't just feigning prophecy. They were actually trying to convince women that it is God's will and you're doing a mitzvah by committing adultery. And they were very successful. And they did this for 22 years with various women. They did it in Israel prior to being taken into exile. And then when they came to exile into Babel, they continued the practice in exile. They did not get the message that perhaps being taken into exile is to punish them. Instead, they continued their evil ways, even while in exile. When they were in Babel, though, there was a whole new pool of victims, and that was the non-Jewish women. Now, a non-Jewish woman is prohibited, of course, to a Jew, but there's also adultery with a non-Jewish woman. A married Jewish woman, it's prohibited. There's a prohibition of adultery. And they did the same thing. In Babel, they believed that the Jews had prophets. They believed that. They did believe that. They understood that the Jews had some access to Hashem. And these two people, Achav and Sidkiah, were considered respected people and prophets. And therefore, when they said things, the people listened. And this went on in Babel as well. So Hashem, therefore, is going to punish the two of them. How does He punish the two of them? He allows them to do this over and over and over again. And as you know, when a person gets wrapped up in an evil thing, eventually they go too far. They don't realize how far they're going, and eventually they push the envelope and they step over a boundary, they go too far. And as they approached women of greater prestige and greater prestige and greater prestige, they went after the governor's wives and it was a greater prestige. Either, you know, the women that they were married to were they were greater women. And they kept doing this over and over and over again. And eventually, now there are two versions, they either got to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter or one of Nebuchadnezzar's wives. Either way, you see that they kind of went a little too far. And when they got that far, the woman who they attempted to convince said, "I can't do anything without speaking to my father or husband," depending whether it was a daughter or a wife of Nebuchadnezzar. And she went to Nebuchadnezzar and explained what happened. Nebuchadnezzar became incensed and he said, "I don't understand. I know there's three righteous Jews that I am personally aware of. Their names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They refused to bow down to the idol that I put up." We learned about this way back when we studied the book of Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown by me into an inferno to punish them for not having bowed down to my idol. And they survived. They came out unscathed, totally unscathed. He says, "I've spoken to them. They have told me that God, the God of the Jews, detests licentiousness. He's so nezima. This is not the way of the Jews. They're claiming that this is what their God says to do. Send them to me." So Achav and Sidkiah come to Nebuchadnezzar and he says to them, "What are you guys doing?" And they said, "Well, Hashem appeared to us and told us that we are supposed to do this. We're supposed to have a relationship with these married women, including your daughter/wife, whatever it is." So he says to them, "But I spoke to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They told me this is absolutely prohibited." So they responded. Now they're in hot water now. They realize this is going to be tough. They responded. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar has sweeping power. He is a complete dictator. No one can say anything against Nebuchadnezzar. So he can do whatever he wants. So they know they're in trouble. They say, well, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're prophets. We're also prophets. And Hashem told us that they're wrong. And we're right. So Nebuchadnezzar, who is no dummy, says, all right, you know what? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, I've tested them. I threw them in a fire. They came out alive. I'll test you. I'll throw you in a fire. If you come out alive, then you can challenge them and say that you know what they don't know. But if you don't come out alive, then I'll know you're a bunch of liars. So they're in trouble. So they say, well, that's not a good test. Because Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're three prophets. That's a whole lot of merit that they have. We're only two. So three prophets could be saved from a fire. But two, we're not powerful enough necessarily to be saved from a fire. It's not a fair test. So Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, no problem. Pick a third. Choose. You pick a third prophet, I'll throw all three of you in. And that way you'll have three. And if you come out alive, great. Then we'll go with what you're saying. Now they now are really in trouble. And they need to pick a third person. Now they know if they pick a third scoundrel like themselves, it's all over. They know that. So they want to pick someone who is so righteous that his merit will not only protect himself, but will protect them as well, even though they know they're liars. So they say, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. He wasn't the Kohen Gadol yet, but that's the person they picked. They picked Yehoshua to be thrown into the fire with them. So Nebuchadnezzar says, deal. And he gets Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, and he throws all three of them into the fire. The Yehoshua Kohen Gadol comes out, and he is fine. His clothing is burned, but his body is fine. He is not burned in any way. He's physically okay, although his clothing is singed. And the two of them come out. The two of them never come out. They are not just burned, they are incinerated in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar says to Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, I get it. You're a righteous person. I got it. I threw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the fire. They came out alive. I threw you in the fire. I get it. You're a righteous person. I just have one question. Why is it when I threw them in the fire, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they came out unscathed, including their clothing? You're fine, but your clothing is burned. Yehoshua Kohen Gadol said, well, that's because they were three righteous people. I was only one. So I didn't have the merit they had. So Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, but what about Avraham? Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire. He came out okay, and he was only one. So Yehoshua Kohen Gadol said, yeah, but he didn't have scoundrels with him being thrown in the fire. I had these two scoundrels next to me in the fire, so therefore my clothing got burned. And Nebuchadnezzar accepted that excuse, and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was, of course, free to go, and he was fine, and they were destroyed. That's the story. The Gemara tells us that Yehoshua Kohen Gadol was only saying this to deflect the question of Nebuchadnezzar. But really, that was not the reason why his clothing was singed. Really, he had such merit that even with the two scoundrels with him, he should have come out totally unscathed, including his clothing. And the reason why his clothing came out singed is because he had children who were married to women that they should not have been married to. Kohanim have, as we know, more laws of who they're allowed to marry and who they're not allowed to marry than other Jews. And in Bavel, in Babylonia, it was a rampant problem that Yichus lineage became an issue. That people were marrying outside of who they should have been marrying. And Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol's children were married to those that they shouldn't have been married to, and he was being held accountable for not having protested enough to stop those marriages. And that's why, even though he came out totally unscathed, he was perfectly fine, but his clothing was singed, which indicated there was something that wasn't right. And that's the real reason why his clothing was singed. But Nebuchadnezzar was convinced that the reason was because that he was thrown in with these two terrible people. That's the story that we have here, the story of Yahushua Kohen Gadol and his children. That's discussed in Zechariah in Shreyasar, which we learned a little while ago. But this is the story of these two false prophets. Okay, so now that's a fascinating story. That's one you can repeat at the Shabbos table. Okay, maybe not. But anyway, so there we have our first introduction to our real terrible false prophets. As I said, we will have more of that as we move on. And next week, Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue with Perek Lamed with chapter 30.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.